good to be with you this morning. I want to welcome each and every one here. If you're visiting, certainly appreciate your presence and hope you have an opportunity to come back and to be with us again tonight and then throughout the week through Wednesday evening. I appreciate this opportunity and I hope that we all benefit from studying more about God's Word and what He has to say to us through it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is our theme, as you know, verse 5. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men but are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. The terror of the Lord is the theme of the lesson this morning from the voice of heaven. That voice speaks to us today. Paul emphasized this terror. If you have your Bible, go to Hebrews chapter 12. Paul, in emphasizing the terror of the Lord, speaks of a time when men remembered what it was like to hear from God. And that's been recorded for us, and we're going to look at that. The Hebrew writer references that voice from heaven and what it should mean for us. Hebrews chapter 12. We'll begin reading in verse 25, and it speaks of a time when the voice of God struck terror into the people. That terror from God comes from believing and knowing who God is. We spoke this morning in the Bible class hour the fact that we can look outside, walk outside, and understand that there's a Creator. Romans chapter 1, Paul spoke of God's anger, God's wrath in verse 18. Why? Because men behold the design. Men behold the creation and they say there's no designer. Men behold a building, they behold other things made by man and give great credit to the designer, to the author, to the creator of an object. And yet they look out at the world, they look at the stars, and they say, there's no designer. And Paul speaks of that. And so we spoke in the Bible class hour and studied about the certainty of a creator that revealed His word and His will through messengers. And He bore witness to those messengers with miracles. He bore witness to those messengers with great signs and wonders in the Old Testament through His prophets, through prophecy in the New Testament, through His Son, Jesus Christ, whom He sent, who we just remembered the death that He died, the life that He lived is evident from Scripture. But God also spoke from heaven, and that time has been memorialized in Scripture for us. We're going to study more about that. But that terror that comes from a Creator that one day will judge the world is designed to persuade men. The Hebrew writer makes mention of that in verse 25. He says, "See that you refuse not him that speaks. For if they escape not who refused him that spoke on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire." What voice is the Hebrew writer referring to that shook the earth, that terrified, that struck fear? And what was the point of that voice? What was the point of shaking the earth with the voice whose voice now shakes heaven, whose voice causes fear? Well, he tells us in verse 28, "We've received a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let's have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." This morning we're going to understand what voice it was that shook the earth, understand that voice from heaven still speaks to us today, and understand that we are called upon through that fear to serve God with reverence, and then hopefully we understand what godly fear is. God doesn't speak from heaven to cause terror, to cause fear, just so we can shake in fright and then do nothing. A lot of times we like to scare people and see their reaction. You've probably scared people, and you scare kids, sometimes they just jump up and down and stammer, and they are so frozen in place. That's all they do. That's not godly fear. That's not how God defines godly fear. But let's go back to Exodus chapter 19. And we'll understand this voice that the Hebrew writer is referring to, that time when the voice from heaven shook the earth. Exodus chapter 19. This was not long removed from the time, if you recall, the children of Israel had come out of Egypt. So they were slaves in Egypt. They had been delivered by a great deliverance. God had promised them a land that flowed with milk and honey that he was going to give them, a land that he was going to take them to, they could dwell in, and he wanted their obedience. This is not far removed from that. Exodus chapter 19, verse 1, in the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they to the wilderness of Sinai. So that's the location. They're about 3 months out of Egypt. They understood the miracle that had been worked to get them out of that land. They'd seen the plagues. They'd seen the destruction of the Egyptians. God then calls Moses, and he is going to speak to him. In verse 7, Moses came and called for the elders of the people, laid before their faces all these words that the Lord commanded him. And the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." Moses returned the words of the people to the Lord. So Moses, as we know, is a spokesperson. He's hearing a message from God, speaking those words to the people. The people are speaking to Moses, and they said, "Tell God that we're going to do what you have told us to do." And so Moses spoke those words. Verse 9, the Lord said to Moses, "Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever." And Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. God said, "Moses, I want the people to believe you forever. I'm going to bear signs by your hand. I've already done that from the land of Egypt. And I want the people to hear. I want the people to know." Verse 10, the Lord said to Moses, "Go to the people, sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai." Now, we probably started getting ready to come here earlier this morning. We didn't start 3 days ago. But God said to come into my presence, to prepare to be hearing my voice, 3 days. Wash your clothes, clean yourself up, prepare to be in the presence of God. We could probably do other lessons on being prepared to worship. But this is one example on being prepared for the presence of God. In verse 12, "Thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, Take heed to yourselves that you go not up into the mount, or touch the border of it. Whoever touches the mount shall surely be put to death. There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet sounds long, they shall come up to the mount." God said, block the mountain off. A death penalty for breaching that bound, the boundary. And when you hear the trumpet, then you can approach up to the mount. Verse 14, Moses goes down to the mount of the people, sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said to the people, "Be ready against the third day, and come not at your wives." In verse 16, "It came to pass the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled." Have you ever been near a volcano? You know a little bit what it looks like, maybe. And when you see smoke coming up out of the ground, but most people don't stay very near that. But that's probably as close as to what we can imagine this would look like and feel like. Can't imagine what the trumpet would sound, but the people trembled. Moses brought forth the people out of the camp in verse 17 to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. What was it like? The voice that shook the earth. Verse 17, Moses brings them out of the camp, and they stood at the back part of the mountain. Verse 18, Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. The smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. Pretty terrifying. The terror of the Lord. The voice that shook the earth. Verse 19, when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spoke and God answered him by a voice, and the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain. And the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. The Lord said to Moses in verse 21, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. And let the priests also which come near to the Lord sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses told the Lord in verse 23, he said, the people can't come up to the mount, for you've charged us, saying, set bounds upon the mount. Moses goes down and talks to the people. They saw the thunderings, the lightnings, the quaking. They felt it. They were terrified. Well, this goes on. God spoke the words in verse 1 of chapter 20. If you fast forward a little bit into chapter 20, pick up in verse 18. All the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood far from it. They didn't have to worry about telling people to back up. They were terrified. They felt it, they saw it, and they heard it. Verse 19, they said to Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. Isn't that amazing? The power and might, and God did it for a purpose. If you go back to chapter 19, you remember, the Lord wanted them to never forget the words that Moses would be speaking with them, and he wanted them to believe. Verse 9, the Lord said to Moses, lo, I come to you in a thick cloud. Why? That the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. God terrified them to a degree that they not only believed Moses, but when they were in the moment, they say, Moses, we can't take any more of this. You go speak to God, we'll believe you. But we don't want to die. And they weren't even as close to God as Moses was. In chapter 20, verse 20, Moses said to the people, fear not. I'm sure they're thinking, easy for you to say, Moses. Moses said, fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces. For what purpose? Why did God want to terrify them? Why did he want them to feel like they were scared to death, literally? We have that expression today, scared me to death. You weren't scared to death. None of us have been scared to death. The people here were scared unto death. And they acknowledged it. Why was that done to them? Well, God revealed why it was done to them. They would believe Moses forever, not Moses, the man-authored words of Moses. Moses, the messenger of God, speaking the words of God so that they would not sin. Chapter 20, at the end of verse 20. That his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not. And the people stood far off, and Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said to Moses, thus shall you say to the children of Israel, you have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. That's the voice that the Hebrew writer, many years later, is recalling. The voice that once shook the heaven says, "I'm not only or the earth says, now I'm not only shaking the earth, but I'm also shaking heaven." And that's the voice that we need to give heed to. It is a terrifying voice. Knowing Paul was confident of this terror. Why? Because it had been witnessed, it had been recorded, and it had been believed. God doesn't appear year after year with this voice shaking the earth. He has done that. The people at the time requested that God not talk to them. They said, Moses, we'll do what you tell us. We'll be obedient to the word from God through your mouth. In Numbers chapter 16, God over and over again showed his power and his might and instilled this fear. Numbers chapter 16, we'll reference a couple of examples just in this chapter. There are many more. But the terror of the Lord is real. And it has been witnessed and experienced, and we don't want that terror shaking the earth today. But that voice shakes from heaven, and we have an opportunity to be obedient to that voice, the same voice that spoke to the people back then. Numbers chapter 16. You remember Korah and his men? They were rebelling against Moses. Moses had been authorized by God. They said, Moses, you're doing too much. You don't need to do all that. You're taking too much upon you. They wanted the power. They wanted the authority that had been given by God to Moses. In verse 3, they're challenging Moses. You take too much on you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them. The Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift you up yourselves to the congregation of the Lord. Moses heard it. He fell on his face. He was afraid for them. And he says, God's going to show you by whom he's spoken. God's going to show you the ones that he has given authority to speak for, which was Moses and not those men. If you read on down to the chapter, we're not going to take time for the entire reading. But in verse 32, God showed who he was speaking by, the earth. The men of Korah separated themselves, and as a test, Moses called on God and said, show us who you've spoken by, in essence. In verse 30, Moses says, the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that pertains to them. May go down quick into the pit. Then you shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And that's exactly what the earth did. The men were standing there, their families, the horror, earth opening up, they all go down in a pit, the earth closes back. That's the terror of the Lord. The earth swallowed them up, in verse 32, swallowed up their houses, swallowed up the possessions that they had. They went down into the pit. They perished. The congregation saw it, and they fled, in verse 34, at the cry of them. For they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. They heard the screams and the cries of those men and their families as they were literally swallowed up by the earth. And they were running away, knowing and fearing that the earth could open water and they would also fall in. But you know what? That didn't last very long. Verse 41. On the morrow, the next day, the next morning, all the congregation of Israel, the children of Israel, murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, you've killed the people of the Lord. It came to pass when the congregation was gathered against Moses, against Aaron, they looked toward the tabernacle. And behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. Moses came before the tabernacle of the congregation. The Lord spoke to Moses, verse 45, get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them, as in a moment. And they fell on their faces. And Moses said to Aaron, take a censer, put a fire there from off the altar, put incense on it, and go quickly to the congregation, make atonement for them, for there is wrath gone out from God. And he said, the plague has begun. Can you imagine how terrifying to see the cloud overshadow the tabernacle, knowing God had spoken and was speaking to Moses, going to destroy the people for their complaining, for their murmuring, because God had taken punishment on those that were rebellious? Moses saw it, he recognized it, and he told Aaron, go offer an atonement. God has sent a plague. Aaron goes and runs in verse 47. Aaron did what Moses said, and he ran to the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he took that incense, and he made an atonement for the people, and he stands literally between the dead and between the living. That's terror of the Lord. The dead had no more opportunity. How many dead? We just had a remembrance of those that perished 2001, less than 4,000, around 4,000. He goes on down. He's standing between the living and the dead. In verse 49, they that died in the plague were 14,700. Beside them that died about the matter of Korah. 2 days, close to 15,000 people gone. Some swallowed up, some struck by a plague. For murmuring, for rebelling, for rejecting the voice of the Lord. Having known about the voice that shook the earth. And we could go on and spend much more time on many other examples. This voice that shook the earth was real. Many saw it. Many experienced it. They said, don't let God talk to us anymore. Moses, you talk to us. Today, people want to talk to God. Today, people claim they're hearing God's voice. They're not hearing the voice that shook the earth. They're not feeling. They don't understand the terror. We have lost a fear of God, a reverence for God. You hear jokes. You hear skits. You hear imitations. There's nothing entertaining about this day. I can't imagine the psychological scars that those people had from witnessing the death and the destruction and hearing that voice. Apparently, the earth swallowing them up wasn't enough. They came back the next morning wanting to complain, and 14,000 plus people later, they learned a hard, hard lesson. That lesson's recorded for us, not to scare us into doing nothing, not to scare us into just standing, stammering, frightened in fear for no purpose. He says, I'm doing it. He told Moses, I want them to do it so they'll believe you and that they won't sin. I want us to do it. The Hebrew writer tells us we'll have reverence, godly fear. John chapter 1, that voice speaks from heaven. God is not sending his prophets any longer to the earth to speak through the mouth of prophets. He's speaking to us through the mouth of these prophets that he bore witness to, as we talked about in the Bible class hour, through his word. John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. And you can look down in verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. In chapter 3 and verse 31, he that comes from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He that comes from heaven is above all. And what he's seen and heard, that he testifies, and no man receives his testimony. He that received his testimony is set to his seal that God is true. Are we listening to that voice from heaven? Do we believe the voice that speaks from heaven, that shakes not only earth, but also heaven, that we may serve God with reverence and a godly fear? Let's go back to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 3. The question this morning is, does that voice from heaven speak to you? To your heart? You might hear it with your ears. Is your heart open to the voice from heaven? It's speaking. And it will one day shake heaven. And it's shaking. It has shaken the earth and will do it again in the day of judgment. Hebrews chapter 3, beginning in verse 6. Here's the plea from the Hebrew writer. Christ is a son over his own house. Whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of hope firm unto the end? Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, the day of temptation in the wilderness. They hardened their hearts. What happened? Well, in verse 9, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works for 40 years, and he swore to them they would not enter into his rest. They would not enter into that promised land because of the hardness of their hearts. How do we hear the voice from heaven? What's God's desire? Hebrews chapter 11. Later in the book of Hebrews, the Hebrew writer speaks. We call this chapter the great chapter of faith. We could do probably, as I mentioned before, a longer study on faith, but we'll at least reference a few passages here. Hebrews chapter 11. But the voice from heaven is not a voice of emotion. It is not a voice from some other person that God has not borne witness to, and we know the day of miracles has ceased. The voice from heaven is a voice through God's Word. Hebrews chapter 11, faith in verse 1 is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We have evidence. People talk about a blind faith. It's not a blind faith. It's a faith with evidence. It's evidence by the creation that reveals His eternal power and Godhead, as we studied this morning, Romans 1, beginning in verse 18. It's evidence through the miracles that were seen, the prophecies that have come true, the declaration of Jesus Christ from the voice from heaven as well as through the miracles, fulfilled prophecy. The evidence that we have is sure. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of the things that we can't see, the invisible God. And he goes on down in this chapter to talk about faith, but he makes a point in verse 6. This terror, based on our belief, our understanding of who God is and what will come, the judgment to come, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Do you want to please God? Somebody said, I want to please God. Many people want to please God. He says, do you want to please him? Without faith, can't be done. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, one thing, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Do you believe those two things this morning? Do you believe that God is? Do you believe that he will reward you if you diligently seek him? If you don't believe those two things, it's impossible to please him. You can do a lot of things. You can praise him. You can offer sacrifices. You can give your body to be burned. You can do all the things he talks about in 1 Corinthians 11. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. How do we get faith? Romans 10, verse 17. I can't give it to you. I can't dole out faith. So many times I've talked to people that sometimes go to hear preachers, religious speakers, you name it. They come away invigorated. They come away excited. They come away emotionally uplifted. They come away inspired. And the comment that runs through many of the feedback, my faith was strengthened. Help my faith. And sometimes I have gone to the same places and I've heard the same message. And sometimes I say it, sometimes I don't. But if there's no scripture used, your faith can't have been strengthened. Why? Well, look in Romans 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Brethren, if you hear an uplifting message, if you hear something that's inspiring, if you hear something that's exciting, if you hear something that motivates you to do something that makes you feel good, it might be all of those things, and it might do a lot of things for you, but if it is not the Word of God, if you've not heard the Word of God, your faith hasn't increased, by definition. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Many men love to talk about their own wisdom. Many men will speak of themselves, but that's not faith. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God, and without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And if you put those two things together, it means if you haven't heard God's Word, it's impossible to please Him. Sadly, many today are seeking to please God without faith. John chapter 1, if you go back to that chapter in John chapter 1, verse 17, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. In chapter 17 and verse 17, John says, Thy Word is truth. The Word of God is truth. The Word of God is what creates faith. Faith comes by hearing that Word. There is no other way to get faith than by hearing God's Word. Mark chapter 1, if you go to the book of Mark, first chapter, it is important that we hear the voice from heaven. There are many that try to imitate that voice. There's many that try to tone down the voice of terror. They try to make it more appealing, more appeasing. But God's purpose is that we believe, that we serve Him with reverence and godly fear. Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 9. Came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, was baptized of John in Jordan. Straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open, the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. There came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God testified of his Son, Jesus Christ. In chapter 12, John chapter 12, John is recalling, or Jesus is recalling the words that he's speaking. The belief, verse 27. John chapter 12 and verse 27. Jesus says, "If my soul is troubled, what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, that for this cause came I into this world. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." And here's the voice from heaven. It said, "I've both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by heard it and said it thundered. Others said an angel spoke to them." Why did they hear that voice from heaven at that particular time? And why do we have reference to it? Well, Jesus tells us in the very next verse, verse 30, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes." And then he references the judgment of the world. And Jesus, "If I be lifted up," speaking of the cross, "will draw all men unto me." Why did God speak on the mount that shook the earth? Well, it was so they would believe Moses forever and that they would not sin. Why did that voice testify of Christ? Christ didn't need to hear the voice. He said it came for their sakes. What voice are we listening to? Are we listening to the voice that speaks from heaven? The last point we want to cover fairly quickly is this fear of the Lord. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 12 where we started. Hebrews chapter 12, the Hebrew writer is referencing that voice saying, "Don't refuse him." They didn't escape that refused that voice that shook the earth. And now, in verse 26, he's promised that once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, in verse 27, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken. This world will be destroyed. It will be removed. In verse 28, we've received a kingdom that cannot be moved. Let's have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. If you go back to 1 Chronicles 16, David acknowledged those that feared God. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. This is a topic that many do not like. Many don't like the aspect of fear-based service, of this idea that God is a terrible God that will wreak vengeance on those that are sinners, and that will wreak vengeance on the day of judgment for those that don't become obedient. It's not my message. It's God's message. His desire is that we serve him with reverence and godly fear. What is godly fear? 1 Chronicles 16, verse 25. "For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods." Isaiah chapter 29, even back in Isaiah's time, Isaiah chapter 29, beginning in verse 13. Isaiah recognized that there was a movement of false prophets that were seeking to abate God's fear and men's fear of God. They were seeking to diminish it. They were seeking to twist it. Isaiah 29, beginning in verse 13. "Wherefore the Lord said, For as much as this people draws near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, they have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men." Isn't that similar to what we experience today? We see it happening more and more. In verse 14 he said, "Therefore, behold, I'll proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work, a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men will perish, the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid." Jesus referenced this passage, by the way, in referencing those that were, by tradition, by their own commandments, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men in essence. Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8, as we think about this voice from heaven, do we honor that voice with reverence and godly fear? I am concerned by many who I think today teach the fear of God by their own precepts, that seek to cast God as a God that is only loving, and they redefine what that word loving means. And God is a loving God. God is a powerful God. He is full of grace and truth, came by Jesus Christ, his Son. But there is a terror that is there that is designed to persuade men. And that terror persuaded those in the time of Moses, and that terror, for those that understand what it is, persuades men today, and we must not fail to teach what God has spoken to us, the voice from heaven. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. The fear of the Lord, here it is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance you do away, and the froward mouth do I hate. That's what the fear of the Lord is. That's one of the many passages that reference the fear of the Lord. Interestingly enough, if you compare this back to Deuteronomy that we started with, why did God shake Mount Sinai with his voice? The people had already said, by the way, we'll do what you say, Moses. But God said, no, bring them, have them prepare themselves to hear my voice, and I'm going to do it so that they don't sin. What is the fear of the Lord? He tells us it's to hate evil. And he says, in essence, to hate the things that he hates. Isaiah chapter 11. Someone says, well, we shouldn't fear God. Do we have godly fear? Isaiah chapter 11, little known fact about Christ. Verse 1, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. Did Christ depart from evil? Did he hate evil? He did. The one that declared the Father to us had the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Proverbs speaks much about this. It's a fountain of life to those. It causes us to find favor with God. Job 1 verse 1, in describing and introducing who Job is. Job chapter 1. Sets the stage for the example that Job is to us. In verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, a man that was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. He shunned evil. Why? Because he had the fear of God in him. You remember Felix, when he heard the message, verse Acts chapter 24. What was Felix's response? Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 11, our theme, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Acts chapter 24, beginning in verse 24. Felix came with his wife Drusilla. He sent for Paul. He heard from Paul. What did Paul talk to him about? He didn't talk about the weather. He didn't talk about conditions in prison. He didn't talk about social or economic status of the nation. He talked about his faith in Christ. In verse 25, he reasoned three things: righteousness, temperance, judgment to come. What was Felix's reaction? Felix trembled. He trembled at that. He understood what the judgment to come meant, the voice that spoke from heaven. Paul understands. He communicated that to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We should understand that. Verse 9. Whether we labor, whether we be present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Serve God with reverence and godly fear. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The voice that shook the mountain was there so they would not sin. They would obey. They would believe Moses. That voice today shakes not earth only, but also heaven. For what purpose? That we can serve him with reverence and godly fear. Verse 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. What's the result of that judgment? Well, the voice has told us, and we know the terror, and that terror should persuade men. And it's a message that is not mine. It is the message of God this morning. Do you hear that voice from heaven? Do you believe all of the witnesses that we have in Scripture that have testified to what happens when God takes vengeance on man, which is nothing to be compared of the wrath to come, that is being stored up, that is being withheld until that day of judgment? His desire is not that we just stand trembling in frozen, paralyzed, emotional fear. That's not how he defines godly reverence, godly fear, the fear of the Lord. It is to hate evil, to hate the things that he hates, to love the things that he loves, to grow in love. But the terror of the Lord does persuade. And as we mature, as we grow in Christ, that terror changes to love. Look in 1 John. Here's his goal for us, his children. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. We're going to come back to this thought later in the series, Lord willing. But verse 17. Here's his goal. The vision that he had for us, the purpose, the plan, not to be in terror, trembling, shaking, inactive, but to be persuaded to hate evil, to grow in love. 1 John 4:17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Why will we have boldness? What will give us confidence? Because as he is, speaking of Christ, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. Fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. If you're just tormented, but not willing to remove yourself from sin, not willing to hate evil, that's not God's plan. That's not God's purpose. His purpose is for us to have love, perfect love, so that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, to have reverence and godly fear. This morning, if you are not in Christ, that's the place to start. To being persuaded, knowing and believing there is going to be a day of judgment. Knowing that that day of judgment will be a terrifying day for those who have not hated evil and have not shunned evil while they are here on the earth. And having believed, being willing to confess with your mouth, Romans 10, 9 and 10, the name of Jesus Christ, that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, to make that confession and profession with your mouth. You bury with him in the waters of baptism. It's Romans chapter 6. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. If you read the passages in there, they were terrified when they realized they had crucified the one that had become both Lord and Christ. Two different roles, by the way, if you go back and study that. They'd killed him. They said, what do we do? And he says, repent. He's called all men to repentance. That we study that, Acts chapter 17, verses 30. And then verse 31 says, because there's going to come a day in which he'll judge the world by that same man, Jesus Christ. So he calls us to repentance, to confess with our mouth, to be buried within the waters of baptism, Romans 6. To rise to walk in the newness of life. And in that chapter he describes not serving sin, not serving self, but serving righteousness, walking in the fear of the Lord, growing in love. If you are in Christ, but you have failed to walk in reverence and godly fear, you have an opportunity to repent also, to turn back from that sin, turn away, come back into the path so that you can have boldness on the day of judgment. That's his plan for his people, for us to grow in love for one another, to grow in love for him. If you need prayers for other things, we're certainly happy to pray with you and to pray for you. Whatever your need is, you can make it known while we stand and while we sing.